You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
There were times when Bible study was the core of public education, and nearly every literate family in the United States not only owned a Bible, but they read it regularly and reverently. This evaluation was part of a major Newsweek magazine article entitled, How the Bible Made America. But the authors of this same Newsweek article point out that times have now changed. The Bible has now virtually disappeared from American education. And despite the fact that Americans publish and purchase more Bibles than any other people in the whole world, the percentage of those who now actually read and study the Bible has greatly diminished. Statistics, of course, must never become the basis of our religion. Nevertheless, the alarming change of attitude now reflected in our society toward God's Word is indeed alarming. We are immediately reminded of the days of the prophet Amos, when the prophet said, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord God, when I shall send a famine on the land, and this will not be a famine for bread or a thirst for water, but it shall be a famine and a hunger for hearing the words of the Lord. And the people will then stagger from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east, and they will go to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and they will not find it." And so now, of course, we must ask the bottom line question. Is it possible that such an unusual thing might happen among us in the 20th century? Is it possible that someday soon people will be staggering from sea to sea, and from the Atlantic to the Pacific, and from the north even to the south, searching in vain for the word of the Lord? Today, it is more fashionable, of course, to be able to quote the hottest author from the New York Times instead of a verse or a section from the Bible. But such was not the case for the psalmist David. King David had tried many approaches to life, and finally, after being endlessly pursued by a loving God, through all his discouragements and guilt and despair, King David humbly confessed with courage and confidence these words, "If thy word, O Lord God, had not been my delight, then I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget thy precepts, for by them thou hast revived me." You see, my friend, it took King David many years and a series of ridiculous mistakes in life before he was humbled. And then David finally confessed that God's living word was his only help and his only hope. This same encouragement and strength is what many people are searching for. But like in Amos's day, fewer and fewer people now confess their ability to find it. And this is simply because a majority of today's population seeks answers for life in every place conceivable except in God's living Word. The general attitude of our generation is becoming very much like in the days of Amos the prophet. People staggering to and fro, unable in their spiritual blindness to recognize, for their help and salvation, the will of God revealed in His holy word. Oh, to be sure, people now own many Bibles. You know that, and I know that. But the question is still this: are they reading them? And to make matters even worse, we read increasingly of scholars who prefer to criticize the Bible instead of simply teaching it. But even in the midst of such discouraging conditions, you and I can live every day and rest safely through every night with the full assurance that by the grace of God, the Word shall remain among us, and that this same Word of God shall revive us. Now, it's interesting to notice, of course, that people who read the Bible for the first time are often surprised and sometimes even shocked to read that God created, out of nothing, the entire universe. And God did this through the power of His Almighty and His living Word. For example, In the first book of the Bible, we read this, "And then God said, let there be light. And there was light. In the same way, God brought into existence the land and the sea and the stars and the moon and the entire animal kingdom. By the power of His holy, creative, and living Word, God created man and woman and all that we see around us." It is no wonder then that King David, in humility and respect, realized by faith that God's living Word was his lifeblood and his defense against all enemies. For David the psalmist, and also for every one of us today, the Word of God is the solid, unshifting basis for joy at the graveside of relatives and our only eternal hope for heaven. Yes, this powerful confidence in the living Word of the gracious Creator revived the psalmist David. It gave him new strength and a hope for living. And this Word can also revive you at this hour. God's Word has the divine authority to put all your past mistakes behind you forever. You see, God's Word also offers you the full forgiveness and the strength for a totally new start in this life. Therefore, my friend, make sure that you will never end up like one of the discouraged and doomed of Amos' day, one of the many who may soon wander to and fro, experimenting with all types of philosophies, mind-stimulating drugs and cult teachings. And so begin to prepare yourself and your family for a possible famine of the Word of God in our land. For when you do this, God shall certainly remove all your doubts, and He shall guard your loved ones from stumbling into the pits of Satan's temptations. And finally, when this life is finished, then God shall gather you and all your faithful family members to live with Him forever in paradise. Oh, after one sees the hope and the strength and the encouragement that God is offering to you and to me in His living Word, it is absolutely amazing to suddenly recognize the myriads of counterfeits of hope now being offered to us in the world every day. One tract, for example, said this, "There are now 13 ways to get more out of life." This, of course, was the bold promise printed on the eye-catching red, white, and black cover of a tract designed for the elderly. The author of the tract sought to assure his readers that they could have a new life pumped into them. The requirements seemed simple. Several of those listed were these: subscribe to a particular magazine, order prescriptions by mail, get involved in special chartered vacations, obtain reliable income tax help, invest money in certain specified money market funds, and finally meet new friends at a local chapter of the sponsoring organization. Now, of course, you can very easily see, just as well as I can, that the list of what this company claimed as basic requirements for happiness among retirees is actually quite comprehensive. Nevertheless, the most important activity is obviously missing. No person, male or female, young or old, convalescing or healthy, will ever be truly blessed by God unless they are directly connected to the almighty power of His life-giving and living Word. Oh yes, my friend, it is only in God and His living and eternal Word that we live and move and have our being. Strength to open our eyelids every morning comes from God alone. Energy to think and willingness to smile, power to reason and ability to communicate effectively, all these blessings come directly from the gracious hands of our merciful God. No wonder the psalmist confessed, "The eyes of all wait upon Thee, O Lord, and Thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest Thy hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing." In the same way, and by His living Word, God graciously plants the seed of living faith deep within our hearts. It is God who desires that no one be lost, and that all of us should come to the knowledge of His truth. The truth that Jesus Christ came into this world not to condemn this world, but that the world might be saved through Him. And so, by the grace and the mercy of God, let these coming weeks be for you a time of sincere re-evaluation. This is also called repentance. Examine your life and be completely honest. freely admit that God would be totally justified in His condemnation of you and of me for our many failures and our terrible mistakes. If you or I were to stand before God's bar of perfect justice, we would not have a leg to stand on. But then, as you recognize and willingly admit your failures and your helpless condition, focus your thoughts instead and your hopes primarily on God's unexplainable love and His grace. Meditate upon how God has redeemed you and me from all of our sins through the shedding of the innocent blood of His own Son, Jesus Christ. Yes, focus on God's unexplainable grace that He has showered upon us in spite of our failures. It was indeed, as St. Paul reminds us, even while we were yet sinners, that Christ died for our sins. Oh, my friend, the prophecies that God gave Amos are frightening, aren't they? Don't you think these things are absolutely discouraging to some people? In your wildest imagination, can you conceive of a situation such as the one prophesied by Amos? A famine would strike the land. It would be not a famine of bread or a thirst for water. It would instead be a famine for the hearing of the words of the Lord. And people would soon stagger from sea to sea, and from the north even to the south, and they would wander to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but they would be unable to find it. Nevertheless, let us be brutally honest. This same situation is entirely possible, yea, even quite probable, to repeat itself among us. And why do we say this? Simply because a few years ago, the Princeton Religion Research Center released an extensive report revealing that many parents and children today are, in their words, spiritual illiterates. That is, they may own Bibles, but they do not know God's message of forgiveness recorded between the covers, simply because they don't read them. The Princeton Religion Report further states that a significant proportion of our society can articulate only in the most vague fashion the significance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ for mankind. And the report further points out that while most homes have at least one Bible, many Americans have not learned how to bring the Bible into their lives. And so, my friend, we must say, what is the answer? The conclusion reached by these industrious researchers of this nationwide study was this: religious education is the answer. Religious education is the key, they said. It is religious education, they pointed out, that provides the basis for faith. And so then, is this something new? Indeed, it is not. This is also precisely what St. Paul the Apostle is referring to in his letter to the Romans when he points out the indispensable foundation for all true religion when he says, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." And so, my friend, let it no longer be possible for us to be satisfied with a mere ownership of a Bible in our homes. Like life-saving medicine, which is worthless unless it is consumed by the dying patient, so also the life-giving and soul-saving living Word of God is of no value to us unless we consume it. Closed Bibles reflect an empty faith, and in fact no faith at all. An open Bible reveals a living Word, God's power for your salvation and for mine. And so we can now honestly say that the jury which has examined the spirituality of our nation has reconvened. The evidence is now in, and the verdict is overwhelmingly obvious. We as individuals, and we as a nation, if we hope to survive, we have no choice but to bow before our holy God in sincere and godly repentance. Let us therefore immediately, willingly, and openly confess that we have not made use of, we have not feasted our souls upon the holy Word of God as we should have. And so then, as we, my friend, by God's help, intend to give evidence of the real fruit of our sincere repentance, let us begin immediately a serious reading and a diligent study of God's holy Word. And oh, my friend, what a thrill this can be for you and for your entire family. Hopelessness and meaninglessness in life shall be forever driven away. Faith and hope and true happiness in life shall replace them. This powerful life-giving agent, which has the divine ability to deliver all these promises, and which originates in the very heart of the Almighty God, is now available to come to you and your loved ones. This living word has the power to heal past family grievances and to remove all marital grudges and hard feelings. This living word has the power to make your marriage and your family complete again. It has the dynamic needed to break down even the highest barriers which presently maintain a division between yourself and those you dearly love. Oh yes, this living word shall establish within your heart and your home a solid faith in the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. And as you continue to study and to meditate upon God's word, the beautiful picture of hope will begin to emerge. By faith, you will begin to understand the joy that St. John was talking about when he spoke of Jesus as he wrote, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. This then, my friend, is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let us rejoice by taking advantage of every opportunity to study and to meditate upon God's living Word. Let us avail ourselves of every privilege to learn about the Word which was made flesh, this Word which became man and dwelt among us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and our God. And when we do this, even if a famine of the Word should come upon our land, our loved ones will be protected. Our daily life, even in the midst of such a famine, shall be sustained because our roots will be deeply planted in God's nourishment for life, His eternal manna. And so let us begin today to live without any fears whatsoever of the future. Look up. Don't look down anymore, and let your attitude be established firmly upon the atoning death and the victorious resurrection of Jesus Christ, our God and our Lord. This eternal Jesus, this living Word, has been from the beginning. This abiding Savior and His words of life shall forever cleanse you. This Word shall forever heal you. And this Word shall establish you in the true faith. And this same eternal Word shall protect your heart and your soul even unto eternity. O God, we pray, grant this divine promise to everyone who is listening today. Amen.